What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Easy, man. You're back on the show, brother. I've been missing you. What's up,
guys? Yeah.
Welcome back.
Glad to be back.
We've been interviewing folks like crazy, so we haven't had you in here, but we're glad to have you back.
Yeah. Not enough microphones for me.
No. Yeah. Yeah. The old saying, you know, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. And in this situation, we had too many talkers and not enough microphones, I guess. So, Joey.
Yes.
I know you're sick and tired of me talking about Hawaii. But I got to tell one more story.
I struggle with jealousy, okay? It is a real struggle.
I got to tell you one more story because I think it pertains to our subject matter today.
Okay.
Because there's two sides of things, right? And today we're going to dive into the distribution of assets, which is really the opposite of accumulating assets. And we also talk a lot about, you know, there's two things you can do when you're saving money. You can either save it for spending purposes or you can save it to give it away. So we're on the Big Island, and we're going up the tallest mountain in the world, by the way. Did you realize, Easy, that the tallest mountain in the world exists in Hawaii?
I would not have ever have thought that.
It does.
I'm going to go ahead and say that is not a true statement.
Yeah, I'm struggling to believe that that's true.
Okay, well, get out your Google.
Did you happen to walk across to Nepal and end up at Mount Everest? Or, I mean, what are we talking about?
See, what you're speaking of is the tallest mountain from sea level. The tallest mountain in the world, though, is Mount Akea, which is on the Big Island. It is over 19,000 feet tall. Now, 5,000 of that is below sea level.
So, I knew there had to be a trick here.
Well, it is. It is. But it still gets up to 14,000. I mean, that's pretty stinking tall. Here's the point, though. I'm driving up this thing in this like rental car minivan, right? You know, and I'm just like chugging along, like, gong, 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 gong. And now it was a much better scenic drive, a lot less scary than my track up Pikes Peak, which you guys saw some footage of that last year when we went to Colorado Springs. And I'm like going around these hairpin turns thinking I'm about to die. And I was like at 5 miles an hour because I was so scared.
That's right.
This was not that because the landscape's much wider. Never was worried about it. But coming down that mountain, once I get all the way up, right? You're up there. It's pretty cool. You're at a much different temperature than you're normal used to there at the beach. But here's the difference. As I start trekking down this mountain, Ernie, I keep seeing these signs like, beware of overheating your brakes. Literally, they will catch on fire.
What?
Yeah. They have these different checkpoints where they really want you to slow down. And so the whole time I'm in first gear coming down the mountain. I mean, first gear, like I have my foot not on the gas or on the brake. And it's just like constant, like, you know, just rearing up. And it'd get around 20 miles an hour. And it felt like I was about to blow the engine up. And I'd slowly hit the brakes. And then I'd keep going. And it reminded me of what we're talking about today in this way, is that think about when we are trying to save money, we're accumulating money. Aren't we wanting to go as fast as we possibly can so we can accumulate as much as we can?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say so. Yeah. But what happens when we get to retirement? What are the number one fear most people have in retirement?
Running out of money.
Running out of money. Losing money, right?
Going too fast.
Right.
Spinning it. The mountain.
Spinning it too fast. Basically, when we get to retirement, we get in the first gear. we really are trying to avoid overheating, right? Catching our plant on fire or our car on fire. An example of me coming down the mountain of Kia. I thought about, man, what a great analogy. When we're looking for options in retirement, we're trying to make sure we get down the mountain safely. And I want to dig into this today because for the average person, they don't have a pension plan.
That's right. Right.
Which, by the way, easy.
Yeah, this is a good question.
I want to know, do you relate to a pension plan? Do you even know what that is?
When we like, say that, what does that even mean to you?
I read about them in a college textbook.
Okay.
Some statistics about how many less companies are offering them to their employees now, how it's a dying benefit.
Oh, if you had to explain that benefit to somebody, how would you explain what is a pension?
Yeah, that's tough thinking back to that textbook. But I would take a stab at it. Pension plan would be an employee incentive from a company where the company will, after retirement, have set aside money that they would then give to you for a set amount of time through your retirement.
How do you think that would make you feel as an employee to know that that existed?
Currently?
Yeah. I mean, if you were an employee with a company that had a pension plan, would that make you feel more confident in your retirement plan? Like the things that you were doing during working years that you knew you had that? What's your feeling of if you were in that position?
I think it'd be a good benefit. I don't think I'd want to fully trust in it. I don't know if it'd be exactly what I want through my retirement, but it'd be a good benefit to have, I think.
Interesting. So this, we actually talked about this ahead of time, me and Russ, and we're going to put Ernie on the spot because he's in that millennial generation, probably has never even experienced what is a pension. So that was raw. That was raw right out of the gate. So
that's honest.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. But that is actually reminds me of a story. I was meeting with a client recently. He's a teacher. And he was explaining to me how he's really never had to think about what to do with excess money in terms of retirement because he's already got a pension plan, right? And so we started breaking down. I said, well, what do you like about it? Tell me about the pension plan. How does it work? And he's like, well, you know, it's a certain percentage of I'm going to get paid from the time I retire to the time I die. And it's based off of the last 5 years of my income producing years, the top 3 years out of those five, they take that income and you get a percentage of it. I can't remember if it was 60% or 80% or it was something like that. And it's guaranteed to be paid out from the state retirement. I said, okay, so you really don't have very many variables in that scenario, right? All you have to know what you're going to make in retirement is what you made three out of the last 5 years. So you can, you know, check it down to that time frame and what that income is. And then you have a percentage of that, you know, that's what you're going to make. He said, yeah, absolutely. He's like, that's why I haven't really thought much about this. And I said, well, that's really telling because when you talk about what other asset classes are out there, what other variables exist? And Russ, you and I've been talking about that. There's a litany of variables that exist in the traditional qualified plans, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we think about the problem that exists with how long am I going to live?
Right.
What is the interest rate going to be? What is the inflation rate going to be? We could go on and on.
What are taxes going to be?
Right. How do I know how much money I'm going to need? How much do I know I'm going to have in the account? And I think that's where you're, what I heard and what you were talking about, EZ, that you were a little bit nervous to to say, do I want to put all my hope in this pension plan because concern of watching Wall Street items fall apart, right? And well, how many people, you know, were depending on pension plans that went defunct?
Right. I mean, that's really the impetus of this is before this time frame, the 70s and 80s, there was all kind of pension plans out there. These companies, that was just kind of a given. But then Wall Street comes out, we've got 401ks, we've got IRAs being created. What happened there is a transition of risk.
Absolutely. The risk was then transitioned from the company who had the responsibility of managing funds on behalf of the employee for retirement to then shifting all of that risk and responsibility straight to the individual, straight to the worker. Okay, no longer will we provide a guarantee for you in retirement. It's your responsibility to save money in this so-called qualified plan, 401k, IRA, whatever it is, And whatever it returns, great. Whatever you have left over, great. These are your problems, no longer ours. And some people see that as a positive. Obviously, now they get the ability to go choose different funding vehicles and they get to take advantage of the opportunities and be more in control. I'm using my rabbit ears quotes here because we all know that investing in mutual funds and stocks, we have zero control. We're at the furthest reach of actually being able to impact that return. But that is where Wall Street was lying to them. It was telling them that this was the case. All along, though, Joey, there was a study behind the scenes that showed the failure rate of these ideas. So, Ernie, there was a school in Texas, Trinity. I don't know if it's like Trinity Presbyterian University. It was in the early 90s that this study came out by these professors who worked at this college who basically studied withdrawal rates from different types of portfolios. And what they were really trying to figure out is what's the withdrawal rate someone could take money out of a retirement plan and it still have dollars left in it. Over time, it started out around 5%, and then they've kind of adjusted downward over time to where 4% and even below that. Because what they found is as you started taking out money, let's say you had $1 million in the portfolio, and it could be made up of stocks, bonds, and they have all sort of different mixes. And you start taking money out over 20, 25, 30 year period of time, they started measuring the volatility in the market over any market cycle. When would those portfolios run out of money and how likely would they happen? And so when you have people out there thinking, oh, I've been earning 8 or 10% on my portfolio, I got $1 million, that means I can take out $80,000 to $100,000 a year. Well, these studies say, no, most likely you're going to run out of money. You got about a 20% chance that's going to work out for you.
Right.
An 80% chance that your plan is going to catch on fire. And you're going to be one of those sitting on the side of the road going, how do I get down?
Right. And I think just to kind of visualize, I mean, the picture of you coming down that mountain is so telling of what we are considering today, where you accumulate, because accumulation is important, right? Where you accumulate, you have to start with the end in mind. That distribution method is going to dictate where you should accumulate in the first place. And we've just talked about these variables, but I want to just kind of hone in on what are the feelings that so many people are sharing with us that we're talking about on a daily basis. They're talking about, well, how much money do I need? Mm. Well, that depends on all the other things. Like you hear that Fidelity or one of these commercials out there, what's your number? That's just hitting on what everybody's feeling. What is my number? I don't know. Well, depends on what rate of return I can get. It depends on what are those taxes going to be? Well, you and I don't know. Nobody can actually with certainty tell you that. In fact, just yesterday, I'm sitting with a traditional financial advisor, and this is not meant to be like a beating of him at all, but he was just being really honest with me. He said, man, I really want to learn more about what you're doing for your clients. I feel like there's probably some great opportunity for us to work together. And I just told him real quickly what we're talking about today. I said, you know, this is great. I want to ask you, how do you, when you sit down, he was talking about building a financial plan for his clients and all this stuff. He said, we always consider, you know, projections on what their future income is going to be in retirement and different strategies around how they can distribute that. I said, that's perfect. Thank you. I said, so how do you come up with that? Like, what are the things that you consider and all those things? I won't go into all the details, but basically the words I kept hearing him say were project. We just project XYZ return. We assume certain things like this, and we hope that we can blah, blah, blah. Like those are the words that were coming out of his mouth as he was explaining the most important part of a financial plan.
So assumptions and variables and lack of confidence. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I just at that moment, and I'll ask you guys, what do you want to hear when someone's talking about distributing money in retirement?
Well, I think about Russ's kids. This is a picture I get. Obviously, I see Russ sitting in the van coming down the mountain, kind of stressing out, probably sweating through his shirt, thinking about these brakes overheating. But the four kids in the back who are probably having no fun going 20 miles an hour in a loud car slowly coming down this mountain. So I think, what would you want in retirement? I think the word is fun, not worry, not stress, not hope, because it's not just about you coming down the mountain. You've built something. You want to enjoy it. You want it to be fun for everybody in the car, your kids, your grandkids. You don't want to have to be sitting at your kitchen table running numbers, I think.
What a great point. No, that's exactly right. I mean, if we're worried about those things, then we're not going to have fun with the others.
What else? What else would you say, Russ? I mean, someone's talking about distributing your money to you in the form of an income in retirement or passive time. As we talk about, what do you want to hear at that point?
I want you to be like, I'm confident that you're not going to run out of money. I want them to help paint the picture that I'm going to live. I want to see that vacation in Hawaii when I'm at that age and it's my kids and grandkids in that car. I want to be able to paint that picture in my own head that there's guarantees that I'm going to enjoy life, whatever that looks like for myself. As an entrepreneur, I don't dream about not working. I dream about working, unfortunately. Maybe that makes me weird. But the hope or the notion to be able to take off anytime I want to and be confident that I won't run out of money is important to me.
Right. Almost to have a platform to jump off of, right? To have a secure standing with some sort of a consistent income that's coming in without you having to be present.
Yeah. And shouldn't we?
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. Shouldn't we be able to have that confidence? Why should that be robbed of us?
And there's a way, but we have to uncover how we've been taught by Willie Wall Street is really just adding to their business.
Well, isn't their model, the Wall Street model, a direct conflict with retirement?
Right. Let's unpack that.
Think about this, Ernie. You know, again, we beat up on Wally a lot, right?
Willie. His name is Willie.
Yeah, exactly. All right, easy. Think about it this way. Wall Street. Why does Wall Street exist? Or any business?
Well, Wall Street is a business.
Yeah.
And a business exists primarily to make money.
Exists 100% to make money.
Otherwise, it'd be called a nonprofit.
Right? It's serving, right? Its purpose, you know, I do want to provide a service to somebody, but I only will do that to serve myself, to be able to actually feed my family, right? So Wall Street is no different than any other business. Now, think about it in relationship to our conversation today. We're talking about distribution. When you distribute money from, you know, 401ks, IRAs, any account, you're withdrawing how much money is in there. How does Wall Street get paid?
All right. So you start taking money out of their business.
Yeah. So how do, in general though, how does, if you work in Wall Street, how do you get paid?
You charge fees.
You charge fees, right? So let's say I have $1 million. I charge 1%, right? So I'm charging you $10,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And you want to start taking out $50,000 a year out of your account. Just keep it simple. $950,000 at 1% is $9,500, not $10,000, right?
Yeah, fees are going down.
Fees are going down. Do you see how that conflicts? Your goals and my goals are conflicting there. My goal is to take out as much money as possible. Your goal is for what?
To make as much money as possible.
Exactly.
To keep as much.
So in order for you to do that, you need to keep me from taking more money out.
That's right.
Now, that reminds me of my conversation yesterday. I was talking with this traditional financial advisor, and these were his words to me. Joey, we even recommend that clients start taking their distributions at age 70 and a half, and they just take their required minimum distribution, the RMDs, and we tell them to use that as their charitable contribution.
So you're saying they say, don't take it out at 59 and a half, wait, postpone another 11 years.
Right.
Keep it in here and then only take out the very minimum.
Yeah. And use it for charitable contributions. And he said, and then I would probably tell him, you know, you need to probably use something like what you're talking about with that tax-free income as their income. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, they were accumulating with you in this 401k or this IRA or this managed account for all these years. And then your distribution is to have them help give charitably? Not even for income purposes?
Well, think about it. I mean, the goals are conflicting. Why would you tell somebody to take money out of the account if it directly conflicts with the way you get paid?
Man, this is, I got to say, I'm still learning, uncovering all of these things myself. I'm just a few years out of college. One of my best friends, he's got an uncle, financial planner. He was sprinting, my friend, sprinting as fast as he could to open a Roth IRA. I guarantee he is not considered for a second what it's going to look like when he turns 60 and he tries to start taking money.
No, because it's all about, you know, the allure of going up the mountain. Going back to my story from the beginning, Why did we want to go up the mountain? It wasn't just because I wanted to take a joyride. We wanted to get up and be on the top, the highest point in Hawaii. To say that I went on the tallest mountain in the world, Joey. Going up that thing, we had a mission. We had a goal, right? But I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to come back down. And when you start coming back down, you want to get down safely. Well, if I'm not thinking about those things when I'm accumulating money, I'm going to put myself in a bad position. And when you see how our goals of wanting to get down the mountain safely, get as much money out as possible, conflicts with the volatility in the market. Because I think of this Ibbotson study. We talked about the Trinity study. There's another study. And we're going to actually do a webinar on this.
Yeah.
We can put it in the show notes, just a clip too. This Ibbotson study shows you what withdrawal rates you can have in a retirement account, given different time horizons, 15 years, 20 years, 25, 30, and have success, meaning what's the probability that you will not run out of money? And when you start seeing it, really, when you start getting out 20, 25, 30 years, those numbers start becoming 3-4%. And it's because of the volatility in those. So when you and I identified these insurance policies that we both own, give us income streams in retirement, 5, 6, 7% and greater in some scenarios, and we start comparing that to these volatile accounts, it's amazing how similar these look to pension plans of the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Right. And not to mention, the fact is, we were talking about 6, 7% potentially coming out of these policies. That's also tax-free.
Yes.
So how does that compare to the 3 to 4% coming out of these qualified plans before taxes?
Well, here's a big thing, too. So I just hammered, you know, Willie Wall Street. And I said how his goal of accumulating money in his own pocket, which through fees, directly conflicts with our goal of taking money out to spend money for us. Joey, as an insurance agent, because you sell insurance, right? Let's just be upfront.
Right.
You make money doing that.
We're not trying to hide that.
Do you lose money when people take loans or withdrawals out of their life insurance policies?
No.
You don't lose any money?
No.
So that's the reason why we're on here all the time talking about how people are taking hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars of loans against insurance policies for the purposes of supporting our business, which is what we should do, right? We should invest in ourselves, invest in our business. And we have no issue with that because we have no conflict with that.
Right. That is 100% true. And so we've talked about the problems here, like the issues that we're facing as it relates to creating a sustainable income that's passive in retirement. This is like a constant theme on our show, but this one's in particular. But there's got to be a plan in place to get you from what you've been doing to now having a plan that works, especially for the business owner entrepreneur. So if I am doing what you and I have talked about a number of times, if I am focused on investing in myself, growing myself with coaching and other means, then that's money I cannot be accumulating in the traditional sense, right? So think about it. You got this pile of money that I can allocate towards coaching and growing, going to seminars, doing these type of things, investing myself, which is number one rule for an entrepreneur. That means I can't be accumulating it unless we use the proper cash system, which we talked about is the infinite banking concept. It's using these structured whole life policies that can allow us to do both at the same time. Now, take that to step two. So if I can put the money that I was going to invest in myself and be fueling my personal private pension plan with those dollars, now I'm accomplishing multiple goals. Now take it to the second level, the second rule, invest in your business. Well, if the money I was going to invest in my business was also going through my private pension plan, how much more am I able to accumulate while I'm doing step one and step two of growing my business and myself?
You're creating a parachute. You're creating the ability to go down the mountain safely. And in essence, going back to your example, Ernie, I'm in a Tesla. It may be in first gear and I'm turned around in my seat and we're playing, you know, some game in the car, right? We're enjoying that time instead of me being stressed out, going down, worried about what's about to happen. It is on autopilot in the best sense of the world. I realize, you know, there's been some situations I wouldn't want to be in a Tesla, right? But this, for me, is like taking that concern out of it. It's not saying that this is the only place to put money, right? Because the going up the mountain, I want to get up there as fast as possible. I want to see the sights. I want to get up there and start walking around and enjoying the scenario. So if your business is growing, invest in it. If you're it's real estate, if it's lending, whatever your scenario is, allows you to grow money on the way up, perfect. But know that having a plan for distribution in the future is through these concepts and contracts that you and I use and we talk about all the time. It does the perfect pension plan. It creates the best way down the mountain. Not to mention, we have no conflict in you using it.
Exactly. In fact, that's what our constant conversation is. How are you using it? Because if you have a policy that's just sitting there full of cash all the time, then I guarantee that you are missing opportunities for those dollars that you're spending on your business and on yourself elsewhere are not helping you to create this pension plan. That's kind of the point of what
we're talking about. I guess the point is we're never going to have that conversation of how you shouldn't be using this money to do the things that you talked about, investing in yourself, investing in your business. That's not an area of concern for us because it doesn't conflict. It actually runs parallel to our own personal growth strategies, what we're trying to do with our money. Now, I think it's going to be best, Joey, if we put on a webinar, if we actually show what we're talking about, compare what the withdrawal rate looks like at 3.5%, 4% taxable to what you're saying, how these, you know, you're calling them a private pension plan, these insurance policies that provide a guaranteed stream of income out in retirement, how that looks. We need to do a webinar on that. So I'm going to go ahead and put us on the hook that we're going to have that in the show notes. We're going to give you the ability to sign up for a webinar so that you can see how this works in comparison. Because if you don't already have something like this in place and you're like me and you want to be able to ride down that mountain without concern, I think you're going to want to watch that.
Yeah. And if you're already ready to go ahead and get started on something like this, you've heard us kind of talk about this week in, week out, go ahead and schedule an appointment. We have that link on our website. You can go in the show notes. You can set up, you can see our calendar right there in front of you. Go ahead and do that. Or if you're not ready, definitely download this webinar we're going to do. Because at the end of the day, whether it's with us or with someone else, we want you to be able to have those words we talked about at the beginning, confidence in retirement, have some sort of a parachute, some sort of a landing point that you know you've got consistent, sustainable, tax-free income coming in the door so that you can enjoy. I love, Ernie, that you pointed out, fun is never something that you're sitting across from your financial planner. You know, they're going to tell you is going to be coming, but it's so important, right? Having fun back into your retirement. That's what we want to add, and not worry, right? Not uncertainty, which is all these variables that so many people are going to talk about.
Well, this is good stuff. Glad to have you back in the podcast, Ernie.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And I can't wait to jump into our next one. Joey, every time we talk about distribution of assets, it makes me think back to the movie Alive. 1993, Ethan Hawke. I think they're like a chilly, like soccer team. They crash into like the Alps, the Andes. I don't remember where they were. The goal of them trying to get off that mountain is what I think about when people are in retirement and they're so fearful of running out of money that they don't want to get stuck up on the mountain.
That's right.
That's just what we just kind of finished talking about here.
When we're talking about distribution, sometimes that sounds a little mechanical, but when you put it in terms like that, it's really could be life or death, right? People wondering, is my money going to last?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're going to end up like eating somebody else.
But let's hope not.
You know, you've heard about in retirement, like the Alpo diet, right?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. It's where you start
substituting your ground beef with a little Alpo every once in a while. So that way when you go full on, if you run out of money, it doesn't hurt so bad.
Oh, I'm throwing up in my own mouth over here.
All right. Well, I know I'm kind of singing to the choir to you on this. By the way, did I tell you that I got to sing in the choir this weekend?
What?
You know how much I love to sing. You know, like every time we're practicing for the podcast and we're ready to get everything going, I'm testing my mic with a little vocal variety. This weekend, I was given the opportunity for Mother's Day to go up into the choir and sing.
How did they let you up there? Isn't there like a tryout or something?
Yeah, I try out every Sunday, bro. I'm just like belting it out.
Wow.
Now, good for you.
Well, I will say they called all the men up to the choir. Yeah, I guess the choir was out because it's Mother's Day weekend.
They called that the bullfrog choir.
Yeah, because most of the choir is probably made up of moms, and so they didn't feel like that they need to be in the choir. So they called up, our choir director actually called up all the men to come into the choir box, and we sung Amazing Grace and In Christ Alone.
Nice.
It was awesome. I mean, it's just kind of like just bucket list for me. I just checked it off. It's just like, I know nobody could hear me, thankfully. They probably had the mics turned way down low. But it was awesome. You would have loved it.
Good for you. Well, I'll tell you, I'm really excited to bring back Nelson. Nelson Nash, we had him on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now we've brought him back to talk about Nelson's family banking system. How did the Nash family banking system get started? What are they doing now? Even fast forward, he's set that model for us.
Well, when you're talking about an 86, 87-year-old man who's lived this just unbelievable journey, there's so many nuggets we can take away. And in our last episode that we had him on, we got like 30 minutes of just kind of the foundational roots, where he was in his life. But we know that this whole concept of infinite banking and using it in his family for the like last 50 years or so gives us so much wisdom that we can just pull from to apply into our own lives. And that's kind of the cool part of this show, is that we get to talk to some really interesting people that have lots of wisdom, that we don't have to go out and fall on our own and try to come up with these ideas. We can watch what someone else has done and learn from both their lessons of good and bad.
So listen into this little tidbit from next week's podcast. I hope you'll enjoy it.
It's really easy to be distracted. I mean, as we get bombarded with marketing material from Willie Wall Street, it's always trying to tell us, hey, borrow money over here. We got 0% interest, and you can put your money over here in this investment account, which we're earning 10, 12%. I mean, we can't tell you we were earning any more than that because that's illegal, but I mean, we really are, right? It's easy to get caught up in that nonsense that you speak of.
Sure, but you got to be able to recognize it.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.